Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every, it seems like we're here all the time. We're here on Wednesday sometimes. We're always here on Sunday, talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever we want to talk about. We can talk about oil prices. We can talk about our dogs. We can talk about whatever we want to. Sometimes grapes petrifying in the refrigerator, which, Timmy, I don't know if you've heard the final story of that. We did finally throw the grapes out after 4 months when they shriveled up.
Oh, it took 4 months, Rich? Like, what's up with that? You know, after 4 months, I've seen a good wine made in less than three. What's happening there? As a capitalist, there was an opportunity there. Rich's wines.
I know. There you go, Timmy. It was funny. It was before the show today. I was actually just, I've got literally dozens and dozens of clips, and I don't even know why some of these clips exist, audio clips. Let me play. Here's one of cows mooing. Tim, do we ever remember doing this one? Listen to this. Why do I have Do you remember that one at all? I don't remember that.
good memory, but the recall's a little shaky on that one. I don't know why we would have cows. One of my favorites was the Werner clip from Hogan's Heroes. That's a gem, that one. I like
that. Which one was that? That was part of Two Start Pitchers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was at one point in time. That's where Lenny gets a little excited about Mr. Dickey, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't even think I've got that one anymore. That's a shame. That one, that might be gone forever. I made that up years and years ago. And that was the R.A. Dickey one. Here's the waiver wire theme. That's the new one that we have the guy who did it keeps wanting us to play it, Tim. So I'm going to have to play it at some point. But I don't see the old waiver wire. Well, two-star pitchers, maybe. Oh, it's two-star pitchers. Here we go. Let's see what this is. Maybe this has got the Hogan's Hero. Hold on. Here we go, Timmy.
Pitches this week.
There's Tony.
At Texas and at Tampa Bay. Tony, do you even take a dare on Justin Masterson this week?
Absolutely not. I can't do that.
You can get hurt before you can, then you can get out. I stay away from two-star pitchers for the most part.
R.A. Dickey. I would touch Dickey with a 10-foot
there
ball.
There you go.
Can you really trust him?
And then, of course, Levon Hernandez, who seems like he has two starts more often than not, against Kansas City and Baltimore this week. What are these two guys?
That's what I want, the truth!
There
what
he is.
Is the truth, Schultz, as you see it?
I see nothing. I know.
There we go. Tim, he was actually Sergeant Schultz there at the end, not Warner Klimpler. I don't know if we did a Warner Klimpler one. Right.
No, I was just getting confused with the actors, and I know of all the people in the world to get confused with and get straightened around when it comes to Hogan's Heroes. You would be the man, Rich.
There you go. Justin Masterson, Tim, still not ownable, is he? So,
well, some things don't change over the years, do they?
It's funny. He was awful. Then he had that year or two, he was actually very good, and then he's back to being awful again.
Well, I guess that's what happens when you go to St. Louis for a year or two. And then he vacated, and then he became Justin Masterson.
Timmy, it's good to hear you. Everybody, welcome to our little show. If you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is on the Twitter, at Rich Wilson FSG. At Rich Wilson FSG is my handle. Of course, the great Tim McLeod, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. If you want to go out and join our Facebook page, I highly recommend that. It's run by Alan Servinus, and Tim is out there all the time. That is prospect361.com Dynasty League groups. And of course, if you want to go out and rate and review us, that does help our ratings according to the iTunes guy. So you can go out to iTunes and do that. Timmy, how's your week been?
It's been good, Rich. It's been a week of many different tales. Dynasty League 2, we finally, after sitting back for 3 months and patiently waiting, finally crawled into the lead. Me and my good friend Boris from down under snuck into the lead there, and it looks like a good race. I'm up into second in the Insiders. My home league, I was tied for first Friday. I'm a point out there. So,
Tim, you're burying the lead, Tim. How's your Tout Wars team?
you noticed I wasn't discussing one particular team. Well done, Rich. I can't fool you, can I?
Tim, you were, I mean, on the heels of first place for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then just destruction and annihilation. You're down to, I don't know, sixth place or something, 90 points. You're 113 points out of the league. Or actually, no, 23 points out of the league. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. You know, it all started about the All-Star, and it really didn't come crashing down, the cumulative effect, until this week. But, you know, when you get a guy like Mike Trout that you count on big time, and he was basically 0 for August, and Colton Wong has disappeared. My pitching, I lost Mats and McCullers, and both of those really badly. The trade of Jose Reyes to Colorado was devastating. It took a while for the run scored to, you know, on stolen bases to get to be reflected in the standings. And then to top it all off, my bullpen of a million patches built, it just isn't happening, right? So, you know, I got within four of the lead. I'm going to still play hard and hopefully finish in the top five, four, but I think a victory this year is just a bit of a reach.
Yeah, let's talk about there's so many things to talk about, Tim, that you just kind of ticked off there. Looking at Mike Trout, yeah, batting 176 in 21 games in August. Had a pretty good game today, I believe. So, but you know, that does happen. But Colton Wong, what has happened to Colton Wong?
I don't know. Everything was going along smoothly, and see, I don't blame this on Colton Wong. I blame Grychek getting hurt, because up until Grychek got hurt, it seemed like the two of them were just performing well hand in hand, and life was going along just nice and smoothly. And for whatever reason, as soon as Grychek got hurt, Wong quit hitting, and I don't know what's going on there. I think there's a lot more talent than we've seen, but hey, we're not seeing it, so it is what it is.
Yeah, Colton Wong, 297 in April, 318 in May, then 250 in June, 240 in July, 145 in August, Tim. So it just really went downhill. And I got to tell you, the St. Louis Cardinals might be in a little bit of trouble, because the Pittsburgh Pirates and your Chicago Cubs, Tim, just do not lose anymore.
Well, not only do they not lose, both of those teams are fairly strong, they're fairly deep, and they're fairly healthy. And right now, St. Louis is gone, and there ain't nothing left in it except sand. And it's going to be very interesting to see if they can, you know, hold off both of those teams. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Cards, believe it or not make the playoffs.
Wow. That would be remarkable, Tim. I mean, because they were so far out in the league. I mean, it was hard to even imagine them even being in this situation. But I will tell you, it's we're going to get to the Chase Utley trade. In fact, let's talk about it now. There is a transformation, Tim, happening in Major League Baseball. We're seeing it play out last year and this year, and that is the promotion of all these young kids. And Lenny can talk all he wants about a rookie is a rookie is a rookie, but these guys are performing well. They're healthier in general than the older players. And you're taking a look at teams like the Dodgers and even the St. Louis Cardinals, who have a good mix of players. You're seeing the Matt Holidays of the world getting hurt. And a lot of their players the injuries are starting to catch up. The injuries are starting to catch up in just old age to the Yankees. And it looks like it's these young, vibrant teams of the Cubs and the Astros and the Mets pitching staff, which is giving, I mean, fits to these older, more established Cubs. I mean, look, we talked last week about the Washington Nationals. A lot of that is a lot of old age happening in that pitching staff, whether we like it or not. Jordan Zimmerman is not what he used to be. Even Max Scherzer is not what he's used to be. But I think the epitome was when the Dodgers had a chance to bring up Jose Peraza after making that really good trade, I thought, with the Braves. Jose Peraza is a plus defender, Tim, plus shortstop, and last year and a half played at second base. He came up for a handful of games, and they said, no, let's go with the established veteran, and let's bring in Chase Utley. I didn't understand that. Corey Seager's still sitting in the minor leagues as they're playing Jimmy Rollins. It just feels like the wrong move to play in today's game.
Well, yeah, it's a very conservative play, and I don't think, and I agree with you 100%, I don't think that conservative play is a play to make. Houston, could you imagine where Houston would be had they not called up Carlos Correa and Lance McCullers? Where would they be if they made the safe play and kept them down for another year?
They wouldn't be on the brink of winning the AL West, Tim, which is, I mean, they got five and a half weeks to go, and they're in a pretty good position because, again, injuries have started to besiege the Los Angeles Angels. And I know Mike Trout's young, but they got some older players on that team as well, you know, losing their second baseman. They have nothing at second base. It is these younger guys, hungrier guys. I mean, if you watch the Chicago Cubs play, that's a team that makes a ton of mistakes, but Carl Schwarber is a really good player. And Chris Bryant, again, with two more home runs, he settled into his .250 batting average, which I think is where he'll be. But there's a chance he's going to hit 25 home runs, Tim.
Well, yeah, and you know what? That's only going to get better. It's not going to get worse as it's into his mid-20s. It's an exciting time for the fans, and I would love to see. Could you imagine – I know the odds are long, but could you imagine a Cubs-Astros World Series?
Yeah, boy, that would be great. I think when I go back and I wrote an article last year on my site, Tim, where I did talk about the 2018 World Series being the Cubs against the Astros. So wouldn't that be amazing if it's 3 years earlier? 2017 World Series, because I wrote about the All-Star game in 2018. But the two really, really good systems. And they've played smarts. The Cubs did not like go all in with an older player to try to bring in. They brought in Dan Herron, didn't really cost them that much. That was the right play there because they know they're playing for the next couple of years, and that's going to be a scary good team. Addison Russell's only going to get better, and they still got Javier Baez down there. They got Billy McKinney. They're still stacked.
Well, C.J. Edwards, Alcantara, there's no shortage of talent, and we're going to see some of that in September, I figure.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things we're going to be talking about today is who's going to be coming up when they expand rosters. And you know, I'm going to say, Tim, let's talk about it from today, you know, through the end of the I guess probably the next couple of weeks, because we've already seen Trey Turner come up and try to add a quote unquote a spark to the Washington Nationals, but they haven't played him, Tim. What's up with that?
Well, yeah, that's isn't that sort of like you know, putting water on a fire and hoping it's going to get bigger. I don't know. If you're going to bring the kid up, bring him up to play, find a spot for him somewhere, but don't sit him there. At least when you look at San Diego, they brought up Jankowski a little bit early. He's getting some playing time. Philly's just brought up a couple, Akoff and Elter. They're both playing regular. Hey, if you're going to bring these kids up and you're going to bring them up a little bit early, at least play them.
The Washington Nationals are terrible, and they are fighting for their lives. Matt Williams better realize that he is fighting for his life. And Trey Turner's this young kid that, I mean, we talked about it 5 minutes ago, Tim, with Carlos Correa. He's not Carlos Correa, but he could provide a spark that team really needs and starts to push some of those veterans. And they're playing Danny Espinosa with Yunel Escobar down now. I mean, who would you rather play? A guy that you know what Danny Espinosa is. He's a fine player. And no offense to Danny Espinosa or his parents or his other family members. But wouldn't you like to throw Trey Turner out there and see what he can do? This is a guy with double plus speed. He's going to make contact. He's a fine defender. Throw him out there. See what happens.
Well, what has been with the existing lineup? It's not going to get any worse, is it?
No, it's not. It was finally good. Boy, fantasy owners of Anthony Rendon, who I think I drafted him in one league in the first round, that's just been a disaster. It was good to see him actually coming to life here the last few days.
Well, yeah, and, you know, as to life, Gio Gonzalez is getting hammered in three innings. You know, you look at Joe Ross, you know, he's been pitching well. He had a great, his last game was great. He's going to be shut down in another couple starts. Do we then see Doug Fister back in the rotation?
Yeah, it's tough. I wonder if they would, I mean, have some balls and bring up Lucas Giolito. Let's go, man. I mean, it's why not? Bring him up, see what he can do. They sat him for the first 6 weeks of the season to try to reduce his innings. Why not bring him up and let that 80-grade curveball do some damage up here? I mean, I know it's a stupid idea, but do you really want to put Doug Fister back out there? You really want to put Tanner Roark back out there when you know what those guys can do?
Hey, I agree 100%, but based on Washington's history and how they handled Strasburg a few years ago, we should see Giolito in, what, 2017 maybe?
Yeah, somebody needs to sit down and take a look at what some of these model organizations are doing. The Cubs, the Astros, and I'm going to throw the Mets in there too. I mean, the Mets, Timmy, have played this perfectly, and they're not shutting down Harvey. They're not shutting down Noah Syndergaard. They're simply skipping some starts along the way, and because they want to go for it this year. And I tell you, they get into the playoffs. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. They're going to be dangerous, and kudos to the Mets for kind of building an amazing pitching staff that cost them absolutely nothing. And here the Washington Nationals spent a fortune on their staff. And guess who's better?
Well, yeah. And who started today for the Mets? I've never kid. You might know them, but, you know, they gave Harvey the day off. They brought this kid up and he pitched well. And, you know, he's not even per se on the radar. They got Mats coming back in September. They'll go to a six man and they have the potential to do a lot of damage come playoff time.
Yeah, I was at the Mets, the Mets Invitational. I forgot what it's called. It's the high school tournament. So I was out in the hot sun watching a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds play, Timmy, which is pretty rough. I got to be honest with you. There was Dante Pichette's son was playing, Bo Pichette. He looks pretty good out there, but man, this is some bad baseball. So I didn't get a chance to see who was actually paying. It looks like Verrett. I saw him. Boy, what a great outing. Holy cow. Eight innings, eight strikeouts, one walk. Wow.
Well, yeah, number six in their plans right now.
Yeah, he wasn't all that impressive when I saw him. So, but hey, he got that one. So that's all they need to me. They'll throw him out there for one game. That's what they needed him for, is one. Give me one or two good starts, and you've done your job.
Yeah, and, he's already got one under the belt. And, looking at Mats being back in another week and a half, that just fills, that just makes that rotation even sicker. Can you imagine looking at taking a Mats and throwing him in as, your middle reliever come playoff time?
Yeah, it's going to be vicious. And, and they're going to bring Mats back in September, and they're going to skip more starts with Noah Syndergaard and Harvey. And they could even skip Jacob DeGrom start. And they're going to make it work. They got Fat Bart out there to eat up innings, and he's going to keep you in the game. And he's a rubber arm. I really like how they're set up.
Yes, as do I. Mets fans and Cubs fans have reason to be ecstatic, and Houston fans. There's a lot of organizations there that have suffered for a long time, and I'm very, very happy for the fan base in all three of those organizations because, hey, suffered, lost. Nice to see some positive things happening out of those three marketplaces.
Yeah, it looks like Pittsburgh's up 3-0 as we sit here and start our show off. But there's really no reason to watch that game, Tim. It's because they have sat Brandon Belt this evening just to give him a day off, going up against a lefty and Liriano. So do you even watch the Giants if Brandon Belt's not playing?
Well, I do, just for the power potential of the Madison Bumgarner.
Timmy, let's talk about that for a minute. That's not ridiculous. What, five home runs? And they're not cheap home runs. That guy's got a great looking swing.
Oh, big time. I using what he could beat her in Tampa Bay. And he probably could.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get too far into the show, Timmy, you're cutting out a little bit. This is happening almost every week, so we'll keep it going for a little bit. Then you can call in with your landline. But I think let's keep it going for a few minutes. We're going to start off with a couple of your musings before we get into the big content. And again, most of the content Tim has written for the show today. So this is really Tim's show, where we'll go through his musings, his waiver wire, and his call-ups. And all I'm going to do is ask him questions of the stuff he wrote. But really good stuff here, Timmy. And it's the first one is, let's start today's offering with something near and dear to our hearts, the closer position. In Oakland, will Doolittle be what the doctor ordered, or will he in fact do little? Very, very good puns there, Timmy. I'm betting on the former. So your thoughts are that Doolittle gets the closing job back, and apparently that's what it's coming out of Oakland as well.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time. He had a great rehab. He was striking guys out left, right, and center. And let's face it, you look at the options in Oakland, and it's a fairly easy choice, I think, Rich.
Let me give you two other teams, and I'm just going to give you the team, and you tell me who's going to get the most saves, because I'm not even sure I know this answer. Seattle Mariners.
Oh, I was going to discuss that one at some point in time tonight. Tom Wilhelmsen.
Yeah, you might be right. I mean, your boy Carson Smith, they don't like him, Timmy.
Well, he's had a rough half. He really has, and he's got himself into the situation that he has. He pitched the eighth today. Wilhelmsen came in the ninth for the save. And Seattle doesn't really want to lose any more games in the ninth. Yeah, I did find it sort of ironic, though, that Smith sailed through today. No call. I think he's going to get a few more save opportunities as we head down the stretch. But he's had a rough August so far. And I can see why the Mariners have decided to go back to Wilhelmsen.
Yeah, I agree. Boston Red Sox.
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly's actually been pitching pretty well. Can we just all agree, Tim, that Tazawa's not that good?
We can all agree that Tazawa is in the ninth. No, that's not a problem. Rich, you've known me for years, and you know how much I love the Japanese players, the former NPB guys, yada, yada, yada. I didn't rush out to pick up Tazawa. What does that say?
I know. It's because he's had this is probably the third time, maybe fourth time, that he's had a chance to secure the closer role. And you're in the beginning of the season, when he's in a setup role or pitching the seventh inning, he's great. He gets later in the season and throwing the combination of getting the closer gig. I don't know what it is, if he's just getting tired or it's a closer gig that he's scared of. It's butt ugly. With what, six hits today and three or four? It's just awful.
Well, you know, I was almost getting ready to eat crow, Rich, because he got two saves this week and he was effective. I'm thinking, he got two saves. You know, this guy's going to go out of his way to prove me wrong. And then came today and life is back to, you know, the world that we know and understand. Four earned runs. Coughed up game to Kansas City. I don't have a clue what Boston is going to do, but Tazawa is not the answer.
And then I'm assuming they're saying in Colorado that Johnny Axford's going to get the role back, and I'm assuming that's what we have to agree with. Maybe he's gotten himself right. Would you agree with that, Tim? And if so, is he even worth a guy that you'd go out and pick up, or is it just going to end poorly?
Well, to further explain the problems of my tote war teams, my tote war team this year, I happen to own Axford. I'm actually happy he's got the job. How sad is that?
That is. Let's continue, Tim. Let's go to your second post, and we'll finish up the discussion on closers. Since August 8th, Aroldis Chapman has pitched in a total of two games. Granted, the Reds haven't given him much of an opportunity, but he is dealing with a sore left shoulder. We can't rule out the possibility of Hoover sucking up the saves down the stretch. A brilliant little pun there, Tim. I really, really like that one. But talk to me about Aroldis Chapman. We're clearly concerned, and I think Hoover is the pickup.
Well, yeah, it's at the stage where what do the Reds have to prove by rolling Aroldis out there? He's dealing with a sore shoulder. We've seen any any hint that he's going to be shut down. Everything's very quiet coming out of Cincinnati, but you know, do they want to take a chance and risk further injury when he does have a sore shoulder by wheeling him out there in games that mean nothing? My gut feeling, and I have nothing other than that, is it turn down and move Hoover into the role.
Yeah, I think that's the move. And I mean, do not be surprised, Tim, if Chapman gets moved in the offseason. I mean, I think if Hoover can get in there and prove that he can handle the ninth inning, I mean, there's really no reason to keep Aroldis Chapman. I think he's only got one more year left on that contract. And I mean, the Reds don't have enough money. They're all locked up in Phillips and Votto and Homer Bailey. And they can't pay a closer $10, $12 million, which is what it's going to take to re-sign Chapman. So I think you move him.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised. I really think the Red movement, the trade deadline, and get the max they could for him, being that there were teams that, you know, needed bullpen help, but who knows, maybe those teams took a look at the medical records. We don't know, but it just surprised me that he's still in Cincinnati. I thought had him pegged to be moved at the trade deadline this year.
Yeah, I think we did too. And in fact, you own him in one of your leagues. And I know you asked the question, do I pick up John Lamb or do I hold on to Hoover? And it was like, well, yeah, I think you got to hold on to Hoover because we thought that Chapman would potentially get moved. But now Wise thing, Chapman doesn't move, but now Chapman is hurt. So I think Hoover is the play. And I hope you held on to him, Timmy, in that one league you were talking to me about.
Well, no, it was Tote, and I did cut him, Rich, as soon as the trading deadline passed.
So, yes.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, Aroldis Chapman says arbitration, third year of arbitration this year, earned $8 million. So he's got one more year before he becomes a free agent. So you figure it's going to be $10 million for – that's what they're going to have to sign him for this year, $10 million. And that's a lot of dough for a closer on a bad team.
Yeah, surprised. I see even a little bit more. I don't know what Papelbon's making, but when they go into arbitration, I'm sure all of the salaries of his peers will be brought up, and he's pretty much at the top of the class. So it wouldn't surprise me to see 14, maybe upwards of 14 mil for Chapman in his last year.
Yeah, it's going to be, it would have to take a, and that's what they do. They, you know, so arbitration, the way it works is the player comes in with a number, the team comes in with a number. Hopefully they never make it to arbitration, and then they negotiate and come up with something in the middle, or they try to sign them to a longer term contract. But if it does make it to arbitration, it is true arbitration. It's your number or my number. There is no negotiation. And the team will sit there and say, well, he's comparable to Jonathan Papelbon. He's comparable to Craig, but he's much better. And if you take a look at StatCast, if you just go and look at StatCast on MLB.com, and it shows all the highest, most velocity on pitches, Aroldis Chapman is the first page is all Aroldis Chapman. He throws average fastballs over 100 miles an hour. He's dominating. He's still very young. He's going to get a fortune, so he'll be at the top of the range. So take whatever Papelbon is, which I think is $12 million, Timmy, whatever, what's-his-face is, and you take that, and that's where they'll start at $12, $13, $14 million, and the team will probably come in at 11, and it's going to be somewhere between there or one of those two numbers.
Yeah, it's going to – either way, it's not going to be a cheap proposition.
A couple more, then I'm going to ask Timmy to dial back in. But a couple more things on your musings, which I think is great. Is your Mike Trout? Okay, here's I think one other one we'll do, and that is: will David Wright be right for the Mets in the real game? Yes, for our game, not so much. That's interesting, Tim. I don't think anybody knows what David Wright's going to come back with, but he's missed most of the season. You know he's going to be rusty when he comes back. You're suggesting with 5 weeks left in the season, no point in picking him up.
Yeah, I think what he's going to bring to the table, he's going to bring a real positive presence in the clubhouse. I think he's going to play 2 to 4 games a week for the first couple weeks at the most. But I think just having him in that locker room, on the bench, on the field when he gets But I think it's going to be a good thing for New York. It'd be a good thing for the Mets. For us in our game, I don't think the at-bats are going to be steady enough. And he's got so much rust to knock off. I'm not expecting great things from a fantasy perspective, but good for the Mets. It certainly isn't going to hurt them moving down the stretch to have his lead and veteran experience around.
I agree with you from the fantasy perspective. I just don't know about how much leadership he's going to provide. I mean, Timmy, I mean, let's face it. Juan Uribe has been a beast since he got traded over. And the thought of maybe Juan Uribe sitting, I think Uribe is playing third base. Him sitting and David Wright coming back. I know Captain America and blah, 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 and the leadership is all there. But, man, run the hot hand out there. I mean, that would be my feeling because that team is on fire. And it's like, why screw up anything?
Well, I think they will run the hot hand. When Uribe faced a tough pitcher from throwing from the wrong side, well, I think Wright will find his way into the lineup, and I don't think that's a bad thing either.
Yeah, I think Wright will find his way in the lineup because he's David Wright. I just worry if that is the right thing. So we're going to ask the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, if you can call back in on your landline, and as Timmy is coming back on, we're going to cut for this quick commercial break, and we'll see you back after the break. So as Timmy is coming back on, it's, you know, it was interesting. A lot of other trades that are out there, or not a lot, but the big one, the other big one was the Giants acquiring Marlon Byrd. He goes from, you know, obviously a hitter's park to, well, AT&T, which is not a hitter's park by any stretch of the imagination. And I think he's already hit one home run, which I think is terrific, but you wonder what kind of production he's really going to have. And I know I own Marlon Byrd in at least one league, and I am worried about that power and wondering what that's actually going to do. You got Brendan Bosch, though, replaces him in Tiger a number of years ago. So I think he's going to be playing in Cincinnati. And there's a lot of interesting potential prospects who could come up from Cincinnati. And let's see. I don't see Tim coming back in. Hopefully, oh, there he is. There's a lot of interesting prospects that are there in Cincinnati that could see playing time. But for now, it does look like Brendan Bosch is the guy that they're going to call on. And Timmy, I remember Bosch. He was with the Tigers. He was okay. I mean, this is the guy you're running out to get now that Marlon Byrd has moved on.
No, not really, Rich. The only Bosch in my life will be Bosch and Lohman.
Very, very funny. Tim, do you wear contacts? I didn't realize this.
No, I don't, but it was the only joke I could think of that went with Bosch. Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. You know, Tim, I look quick homage to you. I was sitting in a meeting this past week, and I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and somebody used the word riveting in the meeting, and I got this big Cheshire grin on my face. I'm sitting there just laughing to myself, and somebody looked at me and goes, "What's so funny? What are you laughing at?" I go, I don't even want to tell you. I just like, I'm laughing to myself about your stupid frog joke.
Yeah, I was going to say, trying to explain that to the chairman of the board could be a little awkward, right?
No, I just didn't even go there. But it was very funny. It's like, because my mind immediately went back there. But, you know, there's some interesting other process. I mean, Yorman Rodriguez is a chance to come up. I think Jesse Winker is a guy that we could see. I know, Tim, I don't think he's on your list, but there's a guy that's had a really good second half, not a very good first half, but a very, very good second half, can really, really hit kind of in a Michael Conforto / Stephen Piscotty type of way. So that's a guy that, you know, if I'm the Reds, why not? Let's see what these kids can do.
Well, yeah, I agree. What I was focusing on basically were players on the 40-man, but just because you're not on the 40-man doesn't mean you can't see action in September. It just takes a little bit more juggling.
It does, and I don't know if Winker is on the 40-man. I know he's been there for a while. After 4 years, you've got to be put on the 40-man. So I will figure that out as we are talking. But talk to me about Billy Hamilton, and he goes down. I was really disappointed, I think, if you're in a fantasy league, because obviously he's giving you tons of stolen base. But Jason Borges we've seen him up and down, Timmy, and he can steal some bases as well.
Yeah, he can. Wasn't he an Astro for a few years, if I'm not mistaken?
Indeed, he was in the lean years, so to speak. But is this a guy that you'd be going out if you need stolen bases, right? That's a guy that you're running out to get, I'm assuming.
Well, I definitely he's got to be a target. You know, you could also take a look at Jankowski in San Diego. That kid can run too, and it looks like he's going to get playing time down the stretch. So there's a few options, definitely.
Jesse Winker is not on the 40-man rotation. I think Kyle Waldrop is on the 40-man. In fact, he might already be up as another guy with a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, strikes out a lot, but it's another option there in Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely fantastic to see how this plays out in the next few weeks, because once the rosters, once you get past August 31st, any players after that point in time, I don't believe, are eligible for the playoffs.
That's correct. They have to be up by August 31st, which kind of brings up, I know we're a little all over the place here, Timmy, but that's okay, because we can talk whatever the heck we want to talk about. Corey Seager is clearly on your call-up list. It would seem like it would make total sense to bring him up now, with a chance to, if they make the postseason, for him to potentially be on the postseason. But I don't know. Are the Dodgers going to do that?
I don't think so. The possibility is always there. It would probably be the smart play. But didn't we just discuss the Dodgers and Peraza and that whole situation? What would be any different with Corey Seager?
I know. Yeah, you're right. And unless Jimmy Rollins gets hurt, he's not coming up, is he?
Well, I don't think so, no. They might give him a clubhouse tour and 4 at-bats in the last week of the season, but nothing I don't believe that's going to be meaningful.
Aaron Hicks or Byron Buxton, Tim, for the rest of the way? It looks like they're sharing time now, and Aaron Hicks finally got a chance to play, started to put it all together. Byron Buxton gets injured. You know he's licking his chop. I know there are teammates and all that kind of stuff, but he was probably thrilled that he was getting the chance. And then Byron Buxton comes back, and he is Byron Buxton, is actually playing pretty well. Who gets the majority of the playing time down the stretch here?
Well, it's got to be Buxton, because Hicks is on the DL, hamstring injury, Rich.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Sorry,
right, well, there you go.
I should have passed that one your way when I saw the show notes. I figured you wrote them earlier in the week, but no, Hicks is on the DL. Yeah, Hicks is on the DL, so that one becomes.
Well, Hicks, that might be it. So Hicks is probably done then, because unfortunately, Byron Buxton, I doubt once he gets established, it's going to be his spot, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with Aaron Hicks. Derek Holland comes back on Wednesday, Tim. Are you running out to pick him up? It seems like it's been 5 years since Derek Holland last pitched, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does, but you know what? He was a pretty decent number two prior to the injury problems, and you know, he pitched six and a third for the Rangers. Allowed 8 hits, no walks, 6 Ks, couple runs. Holland looks like he is good to go, so I would definitely have him active this week. And you know, when you look at Texas, you know, and making the deal for Cole Hamels, well, now with Holland back, Texas is, I believe, owning the last wild card spot as of today. Wouldn't it be amazing if their plans got moved up as well this year?
And it's because, in fact, I was just going there as you were talking, and Houston is up 4 games ahead of Texas. The Angels are now in third place, Tim, only 2 games over 500, which is just remarkable. You get the best player in the league and the resurgent player of Albert Pujols. And the wild card, as I flip over to that, it is Toronto. It's the Yankees and Texas are the two guys. If the season were to end today, they would be in the wild card, hosted by the Yankees, with the Angels a game and a half out, Minnesota game and a half out, Baltimore 2 games out, and Tampa 2.5 games out.
Yeah, so you know, I hey, I think it's absolutely amazing that the Rangers have fought their way back into it. Or is it the fact that the Angels have fought their way out of it?
I think it's more the Angels have fought their way out of it. But, I mean, Cole Hamels does not look good, Tim, let's be fair.
No, he hasn't. He got the win today, only allowed two earned runs, but eight hits, I believe, two walks. Not the Cole Hamels we were expecting. And the Rangers are going to need a strong September from him if they're going to get that wild card spot.
I agree, because I do think, as much as we've trashed the Angels, that's still a really good team. And you get Mike Trout being Mike Trout again, and I mean, that they could quickly turn that around and still catch the Astros and definitely catch the Texas Rangers. My boy Vince Velasquez, VV, is back, Timmy. Lance McCullers maybe missing some time because they're trying to extend his innings out. And is VV a guy that you'd want to go and pick up?
Well, I like VV for next year, but for this year, they're going to keep him in the bullpen, I believe. And they've already got a six-man rotation without Velasquez, so he would be the seventh man. I can't see them going to a seven-man rotation. So, for our game, next year will be the year, Richard.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Timmy. I know the reasons they gave in Toronto was they didn't need a fifth starter for the next 8 days or something like that. I forgot what they said the next couple of times through the rotation. So they didn't need Drew Hutchison to pitch, so they demoted him. But having said that, I get that public story. He was the opening day starter. He's been terrible this year. I mean, it's almost a six ERA. In fact, it might be a six or ERA. What the heck happened to Drew Hutchison?
But he's leading the team in wins, Rich.
Yeah, I know. There you go. That's why wins are not that important. I mean, it has been – he has a 9 ERA away from Rogers Center, Tim. 9.
Well, it's a nice even number. I'll give him that. But, you know, obviously there's something wrong, I believe, with the mechanics. And, you know, they're talking about moving him around different positioning on the rubber, a little close to first base. Obviously they're working on making him a better pitcher heading into September, and they get the luxury right now where they can do it. So I think it's a smart move.
I do as well. I mean, I've taken a look at the PitchFX data when I heard, you know, earlier in the week when I heard of the demotion, and PitchFX says that his slider, which was always his out pitch, is a lot firmer this year. So it definitely has less break than it has had last year. So it looks like he's lost a slider. So if they move him more to the first base side, that's going to cause him not to throw across his body as much, which won't really help his slider. So if he throws across his body a little bit more, it'll give a little bit more cutting action to his slider. So hopefully they'll move him more to the third base side to help improve that. But if he's lost a slider, then you're probably right, it's mechanical, because his velocity looks pretty much on and his control has been okay. It's just the fact that his slider's firm, not striking out as many guys, and they're teeing off on a lot of his pitches.
Well, they are, and a healthy and improved Drew Hutchison will help the Jays go a long way, possibly, in the playoffs this year. You know, David Price has proved to be a huge acquisition. But when you look at the rest of the rotation, you know, Estrada's pitching well. Dickey was on a bit of a roll. He got hammered a little bit today, but he's Dickey. You know, they need Hutchison, I believe.
Yeah, Dickey was bad the last two outings. I mean, the day was brutal. He got the win. I mean, I think you and I could get wins if we pitched for the Blue Jays. I mean, that's just a ridiculous team. I mean, but imagine if they had another – imagine they had Drew Hutchison last year. It could add, you know, just another number three starter. I mean, that would be an unbelievable team.
How about a healthy Marcus Stroman?
Well, I mean, talking about him coming back now, again, I think we talked last week, the color commentator said, no, he's going to go to the bullpen, which is probably the smart move. But, boy, if I got a chance to go for it and I know I'm going to win the AL East, I think I put him in the rotation.
Well, the Jays, you know, I have a tendency to agree with with Greg Zahn, I think it would be the safe move. But at the same point in time, they didn't make a safe move when they picked up David Price, who they're only guaranteed to have for this year, correct?
I think that, I mean, at some point, Alex Anthopoulos has got to be going for it. Now, he'll probably save his job because I do think it was a little bit on the line here. I think he saves his job because they'll make it into the playoffs, particularly if they win the AL East or if they win a division. So his job's probably safe. So I know you got to look long term, but man, Bautista's getting older. E5 is not going to be there much longer. I think this is the year you got to go for it. And Stroman, as long as he looks good in the minor leagues, he's only got two more weeks to really air it out there. I mean, I think you stretch him out and bring him up and say, let's roll the dice and see what we got here.
Yeah, definitely there is a window of opportunity, and it's going to close just as quickly as it's now open. There's no doubt in my mind.
And let's say he's rusty, Timmy. Let's say he's rusty and he gives up, goes out, pitches six innings and gives up four runs, or five innings and picks up four runs. He's got a 75% chance to win the game. They've got so much offense. I mean, and let him work it out. He's got 6 weeks to figure it out.
Well, and he's already pitching to better numbers than Dickey is, right?
Yeah, there you go. The Padres also make a move. They're sending Will Venable. They've sent Will Venable to the Rangers for catcher Marcus Green and right-handed pitcher John Edwards. Josh Hamilton goes back on the DL. We should have talked about this. We were talking about the Rangers. Will Venable had that 1 year, I think it was a year before last, where it was almost a 2020 season. The guy's really athletic, Harvard grad, I believe. So it's a smart kid. Always love the tools. This is the perfect opportunity, Tim. I guess we're going to find out this guy is any good or not, because he's moving to Texas, and if the offense is going to come out, it's going to come out now.
Well, yeah, it's not going to get any better for him than it is right now, and the supporting cast is strong in Texas. So what about Mitch Moreland? Man, is he ever having a great year coming out of just, you know, virtually nowhere. But, you know, Venable's going to get an opportunity. And if he can't cut the mustard here, I think we're looking at fourth outfielder for the duration.
Well, I agree. It probably is a fourth outfielder anyway. But it's somebody asked me on Twitter, like, what do we expect from Will Venable? And I'm like, I really don't know, but it's got to be better than the Padres. So let me ask you, Timmy, we've got 6 weeks left, so it's about 120 games. So it's about, let's call it 40 games left. Give me the number of home runs, the batting average, and the number of stolen bases that Will Venable can do in 40 games.
I'll go with, in that park, 6 home runs, 20 RBIs, 7 stolen bases, and a .265 batting average.
All right, so you're looking for big production. That's some serious number. I don't know about the 20 RBIs, but I mean the 6 home runs and 7 stolen bases. That's a serious player then.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see serious numbers out of Venable down the stretch. If the serious numbers aren't there, I think his opportunities will be limited heading into 2016. How's that?
I agree with you. Marcus Green and John Edwards, really not prospects, in case you're interested in that. I do like Darnell Sweeney, who comes over as part of the Chase Utley deal. So they got a nice pool there. I've always liked him. If you go read my stuff, he might be a utility player, not a great defensive player, but a lot of times guys become better defensive players when they get a chance to actually play. He's got a little speed, a little bit of power, will strike out a lot. It's not bad. So, you know, there could be something there, and he's going to at least get some playing time. Speaking of Philadelphia, Tim, Michael Franco hits the DL with a broken wrist, so he's pretty much gone. What are your thoughts on Franco? I really like what I saw when he was up. The guy can hit. He's definitely got plus power. Tell me what you think he does next year.
I really like Franco heading into next year. You know, you're looking at basically half a season this year. You know, 13 homers, 48 RBIs, and a .277 batting average. Well, that's in 296 at-bats. Assuming a full year of health, I could see mid-20s home run potential, 85 to 95 RBIs, and that same .270, .280 batting average. And one of the things that I like about Franco is that when you start looking at next year and you look at the slew of third base types that are going early, that are ranked highly. Third base all of a sudden has gone from a position of nothing and nobody, basically, to a position that is as deep, if not deeper, than any in the game. I think Franco could get pushed down a little bit on the boards as everybody's rushing to chase the Bryants and Correas and the younger kids. So I can see myself targeting Franco next year.
Yeah, I love the Franco versus Brian. I mean, I think Brian will be a better player, but where I'm going to have to get the two guys in a draft, I'm with you. I'd rather own Franco.
Well, yeah, I think you'll be able to get Franco somewhere. I'm going to say round 6 to 8, somewhere in that range. If you can get Franco around 6 to 8, is that a better buy than Bryant in round 2?
Yes. I think so, because I think there's just no question. Even though Bryant could totally break out, get 30 to 35 home runs, Franco could get 30 home runs as well. I mean, so and there's more likelihood that Bryant's going to do that. But, man, to get for a five-round advantage, I think I'd roll the dice there. Timmy, when we come back, we're going to get into your wonderful call-up list. We could spend 2 hours on this. We're probably going to try to spend 20 minutes on this. There's a lot of stuff on here, and I'm going to let Timmy try to guess the one name I want to talk about first. Tim, you've got, what, 50 names on this list, maybe?
Yeah, basically, I went through some of the players that I thought that were on the 40-man that had potential. There's a few names there. There's no doubt about it.
So there's one name on here, Timmy. I know it's impossible, but we're going to do a guess the player. I'm going to slide down here. There's one name on here that just shocked me. I mean, it absolutely shocked me when I saw this name on here. And I know you're not going to get it, so it's a 1 out of 50 chance to get it, but we're going to let you guess the player. That what name, when I looked on this, that I saw the name, it just went, oh my gosh, I can't believe. I'll even give you a hint. I can't believe this guy has next to his name, not on 40 man. Oops. What? Wrong clip.
Oh,
on the 40 man roster. Tim, who on this list that you gave me surprises me the most? That he, how can this guy possibly not be on the 40-man roster? Who is that player?
Okay. Who is that player? I'm going to say, I got narrowed down. I'm going to say Aaron Judge.
Nope. Tim, you can't be more wrong. Then you're trying to pick my brain, which is totally impossible.
Well,
Alan Craig. How can Alan Craig not be on the 40-man roster? Unbelievable.
Well, because Alan Craig got waived and nobody wanted to pick up his salary. So there he sits down at AAA working his game through.
Oh, you got to feel – I mean, I know the guy made $40 million and basically won't have to work ever again, and he'll be a high school coach or something. I don't feel sorry for the guy, but I do feel sorry for the guy. I mean, that's brutal. This is a guy that – he was an all-star, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he sure was. Do you remember Alexi Casilla?
Sure.
Yeah, he was an up-and-comer with the Twins. I believe he got traded to the Nats. He's also not on the 40-man. If you ever get the opportunity and you're bored, you want to spend a couple hours and find yourself going through a rather amazing experience, go through all the rosters at AAA, and look at the names and see who isn't on the 40-man. It's fascinating. It really is.
It really is. But Alan Craig, that's a shocker, Timmy. And you think he'll be up?
Well, I would like to see him called up just because, okay? Much the same as Hessman for the Tigers, okay? He's not on the 40-man either. But you know, he's a minor, all-time minor league home run leader. Give the guy a week's worth of at-bats in the bigs. I think it'd be a classy, you know.
Why don't you think they've ever done that, though? I mean, it's a great point. He broke the minor league home run record. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. I don't think he's ever appeared in a Major League Baseball game.
Yeah, I don't know if he has. I think he might have at some point in time gotten a few at-bats in, but definitely nothing of significance. But I think there's players like that I think it'd be good for the game to give some of these guys, you know, even 10 at-bats in September. What's it going to hurt, really, for a team that's not contending, unless they're 40-man stacked, right?
Yep. Tim, Alan Craig in 313 at-bats, he has 3 home runs in AAA.
Yeah, but they were quality home runs, Rich.
Yeah. This is Derek Barton. This is a guy on your fantasy team. He's going to play first base, and he's going to get you 6 home runs.
How much is he making, Rich?
I think he signed a contract for $40 million. So I think he's paid a lot of money. It's him. I still got Cincinnati up here. So let me hit the back arrow. And Tim, you can sing a little song for me. So let's see. He plays for the Boston Red Sox. So let me go up to the AL East. Where's the AL East? That's where is the NL East? NL West. AL East. There it is. The Boston Red Sox. Let me click that on, and we bring up the Boston Red Sox. Let me scroll down here, Tim. Isn't this great entertainment?
Well, yeah, but you know what, Rich? I'll tell you, you talking about going through all the motions is still better than my singing, okay?
Okay, so I've got it up. I'm looking for Alan Craig, signed a 5-year, $31 million. He's paid $5.5 million this year. Tim, are you ready for this? $9 million next year, $11 million in 2017. So he's owned $20 million left to go, and it's a buyout in 2018. Man, I guess they keep him in minor leagues and let him provide some leadership down there, but it's just what a horrible trade. Remember, was it Jonas Cespedes for Alan Craig? Was that what that was?
I can't remember what the details of that deal were, but man, Craig was coming off a good year, and the only other option is they could always trade him to the Dodgers, right?
That's true. They'll pick him up. I remember Jonas Cespedes was for Rick Porcello. It was Alan Craig was part of the Lackey deal.
Right. And then Lackey had the last year of his contract, basically.
For $500,000. Yeah, he's paying. So, boy, score huge for the St. Louis Cardinals. They get a number 3, number 4 pitcher and paying them $500,000, and they pawn off $25 million salary to a guy in the minor leagues. That's brutal. No wonder Ben Cherington got fired.
Yeah, there was more than just the Pablo Hanley signing and Porcello, I think, that went into that went into that decision.
All right, continue. Let's get Oswaldo Arcia. He is batting. I just looked. Oh, shoot. I wish I would have. I should have. It's 11 home runs, I think, in AAA, but it's batting like 230. This is a guy that strikes out a ton, refuses to walk. I don't know, Tim. I'm beginning to wonder. I know we've been talking about him for a couple of years. I'm beginning to wonder if this guy's a major league player. I mean, if he's getting on base at a 70% clip, that's his contact rate. And I think I looked and his walk rate was 6%. This is just not going to play.
Well, no. When you look at the numbers from last year, they look good. Yeah, granted, the strikeout numbers were a little high, but age came into bear, and all of a sudden, he's looking an awful lot like Dan Vicieto. And I don't know how much of, you know, what Arcia is doing this year relates to the relationship he has with Molitor and team management. I think at this stage, a trade out of Minnesota would be the best thing that could happen for all parties.
I think so too, but realistically, Tim, his lifetime, I'm looking at now, his lifetime walk rate is 7.5%. His strikeout rate is 28.3%. This year at the Twins and with the Red Wings, 27% strikeout rate, 6.2% walk rate. That is not going to get it done. That's a guy that's going to bat 230, 240, maybe even lower. And it's going to be really expensive for those 20 home runs, and the Twins don't want that on their team.
No, definitely not. That's why I thought the Dan Vicieto comp was fairly good.
I think that's really good. I bet you. How about this, Tim? Oswaldo Arcia to the Astros. The Astros love those kind of players.
Well, and he's young still. I think he's only 23, maybe 24. I hate writing a 23, 24-year-old off at this stage of the game, but a very, very disappointing season.
Kenny's Vargas.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a heck of a nice guy. He took time with you.
is he going to get any playing time? I mean, if so, where does he play?
Yeah, that's the problem. Unless Joe Mauer decides to take a little bit of time off. No, the guy in Minnesota that I think might get some playing time is Josmael Pinto. I still think the Twins view him as a catcher of the future.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It's they have Suzuki, right?
Yeah, they have Suzuki, yeah.
Aaron Judge and Rob Refsnyder with the Yankees. Aaron Judge is not on the 40-man roster. I would assume he'd be up. They'd find a way to get him on the 40-man. Rob Refsnyder, I have no idea where he's playing. It actually looks like Stephen Drew is some semblance of a Major League Baseball player again.
Well, yeah, Drew, I think the promotion of Refsnyder a while back forced Drew to look in the mirror and say, hey, how much longer am I going to be playing this game? And he's picked it up a lot as a result. Judge, I think the Yankees should get him up, but they're going to have to find a way to make that work. And what are your thoughts on Nick Goody, a reliever with the Yankees? He's posted some pretty good numbers. Maybe some innings in the 6th, 7th?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, he's from a fantasy standpoint, I don't think that's it's going to help your team. But seeing a pitch, he's not bad. I think that's a nice pull on that.
Oh, okay. No, I just didn't know that much about the kid. And one of the things I like about this September call-up thing is I know you know all the kids, so I can tell you how much research I did. Not that much, Rich.
Okay, well, that's okay, Timmy. I'm trying to. So you wrote the names down, and we'll just go back and forth, and I'll fill in the blanks with that. I've seen Rob Refsnyder. He's okay. I mean, he's a fair defensive player. Can hit a little bit of power, a little bit of speed. Stephen Drew's going to be what he's done over the last few weeks, then I don't think they're going to give Rob Refsnyder a chance at all. I'm going to skip down to a guy that's a little bit of a hot topic with us, Tim, and that is Dalton Pompey, who's been playing quite well since he's got promoted to AAA. And the guy that's got his spot is Pilar. Kevin right. Pillar in August, Tim, 19 games. He's gotten 11 hits and 66 at bats. He's batting 167. No home runs, no stolen bases. He is turning back into Kevin Pillar. This is a guy that really had some pretty nice periods of time, particularly in June when he batted 365. I think Kevin Pillar is the fourth outfielder. I think Dalton Pompey is your starting center fielder at some point.
Yeah, I agree totally. I think Pillar is a fourth outfielder. I think Dalton Pompey heading into next spring, the center field job, much the same as it was this past year, is his to lose. And I think with another year in the minors under his belt and a little bit of maturity and growth, I think Pompey will have the job. The problem right now, though, is even though Pillar offensively is stinking the joint up, defensively, he's making highlight reel catches every other day. I don't know if you've caught any of them, but he's diving for balls and catching them, bringing home runs back. The Jays don't need Pilar's offense. They survived just fine without him. But that defense, I don't think they'll be pulling him out of the job down the stretch. So I don't think Pompey will get the at-bats in September, but I do like him a lot moving forward.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I was worried, Timmy, when you kept holding on to him in a couple of leagues, because I just didn't see the calculus working out for Pompey getting a lot of time. But I think they'll bring him up in September. In fact, there's zero downside to do that. I think he could still 4 or 5 bases, though, because I think he'll get pinch running opportunities. And I do think the Blue Jays will clinch relatively handily. And I think he could get 20 or 30 at bats as well. So I think there's a chance for him to do something in September.
He's the sort of guy that you've got to watch very, very carefully into the second week of September. If the Jays do clinch a bit early, jump all over them, because they're going to rest all the regulars in the last week of the season. And Pompey could get 20 at bats in the final week of the season and win you a league.
Totally agree. Tim, here's a guy that I hope the Houston Astros promote, A.J. Reed, who I saw in earlier this year, Alvin Lancaster. He's a big dude. I mean, he's definitely a first baseman. And he's had probably the best statistical year in the minor leagues this year. In fact, I'm guessing, and Baseball America always does their player of the year, which is a big deal, and that'll be happening, I think. Well, the minor league season ends on Labor Day, so you would think it'd be out after that. And I would assume he would be the forefront to win player of the year. He can power, he can hit a little bit, and the Astros have shown no restraint and bringing up guys that can help them. I think A.J. Reed gets promoted, even though he's not on the 40-man roster, Timmy.
I think he does, too, because, and I'll give you two other big reasons why he does get promoted. Marwin Gonzalez and Luis Valbuena.
Well, Luis Valbuena's hit 20 home runs, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, he has, and I think he's still above the Mendoza line the last I checked. The Astros need they need a bat in that lineup badly that can get on base. Like, I know, I believe Reed's hit 29 home runs and driven in 110, but the stat that amazes me is strikeout to walk ratio. This guy understands the strike zone. I believe he's got one home run in his past 10 games, and the last two that I saw, I think he was 0-for-6. But he was still batting, I believe it was 440 or 460.
On base percentage, you mean?
No, batting average.
No, really? No. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. He's the type of guy that the Astros need badly in that lineup. Somebody who's going to, you know, they don't need the long ball. The long ball could be there, but he's smacking the ball all over the place. Singles, doubles, you know, he's just spraying it all over the place. And that's something that would fit into the Astros lineup in a huge way.
Totally correct.
Carlos Correa got walked, what, six times, I think, was it last weekend or the weekend before against the Tigers? Why would anybody pitch to Carlos Correa when you look at the surrounding lineup? It doesn't make any sense. They need some protection to be a better team, and I think Reed's the guy.
I don't know about protection, but I think the Astros need guys that can get on base, and he's one of those guys with the power. And Tim, I'd like to take this moment for give you the opportunity to apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Valbuena, as Luis is not batting under the Mendoza line. He is batting 209. So, Tim, formal apology.
Yes, I apologize from the deepest depths of me, Art. To the whole Valbuena clan, may you enjoy the satisfaction of knowing your son is on the verge of a 210 batting average.
well said, Timmy. Matt Moore is on this list, and 16 strikeouts. Was it yesterday, the day before yesterday? Timmy can pitch in AAA. I don't know if he can pitch in the major leagues, but he can play in AAA.
But yeah, he's the sort of guy. Like, you're right. He can pitch in AAA, and you know, he didn't walk anybody. I don't believe in that outing, or it was minimal walks. But you know, we saw over what, I don't know how many starts in Tampa Bay coming back off the TJ. We saw the inconsistency. We saw the problems finding the strike zone. Hey, I wish all the best for Matt Moore, but would I rush out to grab him only in deep leagues, because I want to see a little bit more? We've seen how many years of poor control. One outing is not going to sway my vote.
I totally agree with you there, Timmy. Let's go to Pittsburgh. And what I think I'm going to do, Tim, I'm going to go down to midway in this list, and then we're going to stop it. And we still have, next week will be the 30th, and we'll have a couple of days before, and let's do the second half of the list. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm game for just about anything. I do have one question for you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Would you pick up A.J. Reed in a league where you have to start him next week?
You're talking tout? Oh, Tim. But do you, wow, that's a really good question. I don't know if I got
my other option is Ryan Howard, who the Phillies have really limited his at-bats lately.
I, Tim, you're so transparent. So you sent a, I think, a Facebook message out, really ripping the Phillies for Darren friggin' Ruff, which I thought is funny. I'm like, dude, Darren Ruff and Ryan Howard. I mean, it's like, really, there's not a whole lot of difference between the two. So I knew where it was coming from, Tim. I felt your pain.
Thank you very much. I was wondering if anybody other, I figured somebody'd see through that. And yeah, you're a good candidate to see through that, statement. Definitely.
Yeah. Timmy, I mean, we can argue the logic about A.J. Reed. I mean, and I think you presented it perfectly, and I concur with you. And I will throw in the fact that we now have history on our side with the Houston Astros, that they got big balls, and they're not afraid to make these moves. And Jeff Luhnow was proud of that minor league system. We can tick off all the guys that brought, I mean, who thought he would bring up Vincent Velasquez? He's done that, and he's contributed. Who thought he was going to bring up Lance McCullers? He did that. We thought we'd bring up Carlos Correa. I think there's a good chance he comes up, but if he doesn't come up, it's a bad move. I don't know what to tell you there. I think all the logic points to it, but we're not in that office, and we don't know what they're going to do.
Well, and that's a mistake, Rich. Obviously, the Astros should have hired one of the two of us. So we
at least call us up.
well, yeah, at least, call once in a while and, ask our thoughts on this thing. But no, not happening, is it?
But I would, again, all you could go was of what they've done this year, and they're going for it. And why not? In fact, why not bring him up now so he can get the service time so that he can be on the postseason roster. I mean, he could be the next Carlos Correa type player, an impact guy that comes up. And again, Luis Valbuena and Evan Gattis and Chris Carter. I mean, these are guys that strike out a ton.
Well, yeah, they keep the air circulating in that place. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So I don't know what to tell you, Tim. If it were me, and you're now in sixth place and you're swinging for the fences. I mean, you built that team by Miguel Sano, Carlos Correa. I mean, you're a little bit of the Houston Astros. I mean, you've been taking risk all season long, and it has paid off for you. So what the hell? I mean, why not try it?
Okay. Well, I thank you for your opinion. And guess what? I'm going to spend a buck tonight.
There you go. What the heck, Tim, right?
That's it. So what's the worst that happens? I finished seventh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, okay, let's move down to the Pittsburgh Pirates. There's some really intriguing names on here, and I didn't realize Jody Mercer was back in the minor leagues.
Yeah, he's rehabbing right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. I've always liked Alan Hansen, and yeah. I think he's going to be your second baseman of the future. I think it's not going to be until 2017 because Walker still got another year of under team control. But Alan Hansen's going to be a nice little fantasy player. Guy's got really good speed. He can hit. He's got surprising pop. You could see 10 to 12 home runs, 25 stolen bases, and a 270 batting average. This is the kind of player that he is. I don't know if he gets any playing time because the Pittsburgh Pirates – you got to think, Tim, they're going to be fighting for their lives all the way through the end of September.
Well, yeah, which brings us to probably one of the, top 5-10 starting pitchers in the minors this year in Tyler Glasnow.
I love Tyler Glasnow. In fact, I have written up, I'm on almost 100 capsules now I've written up, and I have already written up Tyler Glasnow, and I have talked about my Mount Rushmore of minor league pitchers, which includes Lucas Giolito, includes Julio Urias, includes Alex Reyes, and Mr. Tyler Glasnow. Glasnow has got unhittable stuff. If you take a look at this, I think I did a 171 batting against, because I did the math when I wrote it up. That's what batters are batting against, a 171. He had a first rough outing when he hit AAA, and then all of a sudden it's back to six innings pitched and three hits. You know, I mean, there, nobody can square him up at all. He's going to walk guys. He can't hold batters on very well if they get on base, because no one's ever on base. So he never has a chance to practice that. I'd love to see him bring him up. I mean, they're pitching lock. I mean, come on. We know what he can do.
Well, yeah. Again, he's not on the 40 man, but I looked at the numbers and they're sick, Rich. They are really, really sick. And he's not a lock.
Timmy, you cut out there. Say that again. They're really, really sick. And then you said what?
He's not a lock.
Oh, he's a Blog Talk did us a favor, Tim. Oh, it's so funny. That was actually a very funny pun, though. I'm sorry, Miss. All right, we're off the rails again here, Timmy. Okay, let me ask you the question. Now I'm in tout, and I need a pitcher. Okay. Would you pick up Tyler Glasnow this week, and know that if he doesn't come up, he's, you know, you've just wasted a week's worth of non-statistics?
Knowing the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates, no, I wouldn't.
Yep. That's the right answer. And, you know, it's hard to deny what they're doing, because they might have the best team in the National League, Tim.
Yeah, they might. But how much better could it potentially be?
Oh. Are you with us, Tim?
Well, yeah, sort of. I'm drooling.
Earth
and I'm
to Tim. We have lost Mr. McLeod. We have lost connection with Tim. I'm going to ask Tim to dial back in, as he is contemplating that question, that very, very deep question of the Pittsburgh Pirates being the best team in the National League. And Mr. McLeod on here. But let me go back to, as Tim starts his voice, is not good at the moment. But I talked about my Mount Rushmore, where I also Lucas Giolito, Alex Reyes, and Julio Urias, Dodgers, and I more one guy on that. Who do I think is going to Hey, we are back. Sorry, everybody. We have got it. Timmy, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I tried dialing back in. I got the intro music. Is this like Deja Vu all over again?
It is, Timmy. I apologize. I got kicked off this time, and I was talking to complete thin air. So, but I should be able to edit this out, and no one will know that we had a minute of dead air.
Well, you know, it's probably not the first time, won't be the last. Yeah, I tried dialing back in, and it sort of got cranky with me, and then music. So here we are.
All over the internet, and it's on a Sunday night when we have glitches. But Tim, that's thin air to no air. I talked about more of minor league pitchers. Tim, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yeah, no, you were breaking up really bad.
Oh, really? Well, maybe it's me now that's having trouble. Let's try this one more time. If we struggle, Tim, we're just going to... How's that sound?
Whatever you said sounds good, Rich.
Okay. I talked about my Mount Rushmore of four pitchers: Julio Urias with the Dodgers, Alex Reyes with the St. Louis Cardinals, Lucas Giolito, the young pitcher with the Washington Nats, and of course, Tyler Glasnow with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Who do you think, Tim, I think has the highest upside of those four players?
Oh, man. I go Giolito.
Tim, he's got... He's a great fastball, a double plug, great guess, and the guy. For me, though, Timmy, it is the St. Louis Cardinals. I've seen him live pitch now, and the fastball sits 94 to 98. He pretty much can hit 100 miles an hour when he wants to. I had somebody tell me, Timmy, he hit 103. This is a guy with, and he is athletic. This is just a silky smooth delivery. It's really, really good. And he's in Double-A and even more effective than Tyler Glasnow. As a guy that was struggling with his control, starting to get his control together. Next year, if you're one of those draft and hold leagues, Tim, Alex Reyes, man, take him.
Okay, I will take that advice under consideration and stash the name.
We got Josh Bell also in Pittsburgh. Timmy, you think he's going to get caught up?
Well, he's on the 40, man, but I don't think so, Rich. I put down because, he's getting closer and closer, but it's Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, agreed. Stephen Moy, I think a September call-up last year, did okay. Big 6'7" guy, tremendous raw power. Do we see him again?
Yeah, I think we do see Moy. I think we see Jeffrey Marte as well. The Tiger, they're out of the race, so why not give these kids a little bit of look-see?
Yeah, agreed. You're breaking up. I'm breaking up. We're really struggling. The fact that you're breaking up usually means that we do have just really heavy call-ups. We'll finish up next week. And, Tim, let's get to some of your waiver wire pickups. Would you like to do that?
You're breaking up so bad I lost, Rich. I really...
Okay. No. Well, all in a day, a few minutes early, and sorry we didn't get to your whips, but they're brilliant as always, and, people are just going to miss them. So maybe you can post them out on Facebook, Tim.
Okay, I'll toss the names out there, and hopefully next week Blog Talk will be a little more cooperative for us, Rich.
Tim, as always, always great to have you on. Sorry, everybody, that we ran into a little bit of technical problems. Sometimes it happens, but hopefully you'll continue to listen. We will catch everybody next Sunday. Timmy, we'll see you then.
Have a good week, Rich. Thanks.
All right, man.